Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Now, I want you, God said he was doing the impossible this morning. I want you to hold on to that. Do not let the enemy steal that away from you. Because God is more than able. Amen. This morning, I'm going to talk about the third heaven. For a reason. God has called this, over a year ago, he called this church to come up into the third heaven with him. And I was reading an article about Jay Bartlett, and he says that when his people are being delivered now, they actually come back and say they were in the third heaven with the Father. And so if these people who are being delivered can go to the third heaven with the Father, then you who God invited should go to the third heaven and talk with the Father. And I know that isn't happening, because if it would be happening, your lives would be different. You wouldn't be, I'm hearing God say, you wouldn't be mortal anymore. You would be more Christ-like. Amen. So Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So Jesus is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens. There's an S on the end of that, all right? Consequently, we find the Bible speaking of more than one heaven or multiple heavens. Now, as I was doing a study on this, there are seven heavens, but we're only going to talk about three this morning. So we have more than one heaven. The fact that Jesus passed through the heavens gives evidence there was more than one heaven. The third heaven is a very dwelling place of God. And that's why he says, I invite you to come up into the third heaven. It's where he's dwelling, and he wants you to sit at his feet. He wants you to have personal encounters with him. And until you do that, you're never going to know the fullness of Christ. And you're going to have to do this deliberately. When you're taking your time for prayer, Father, I sit at your feet and I want to come up into the third heaven. Now, he invited me to the seventh heaven, which I have done. But this morning, we're going to talk just about the first, second, and third heaven. Revelations 4, 1 through 11. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. This is John speaking. And the Spirit, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. What did John say? After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open where? In heaven. So he's looking up, and God tells us to keep looking up, and he saw that door in heaven. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. It says there, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. You know, God told me, he said, start watching for the lightnings and the thunderings. So when I was reading this again last night, I'm anxious to see what the thunderings and lightnings are all about. And see, if you would keep your mind on Christ, if you would listen to the voice of God, and he tells you things, see, I'm anticipating what this is. See, he wants to put great anticipation in you so that your mind will stay on Christ and you'll always be looking to what he really is going to do and say at all times. And verse 6 says, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and a fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So up in heaven, they're constantly worshiping the Father, these 24 elders and the angelic host. We are supposed to be doing the very same thing down here. And if we would just get ourselves right, you know, John, the Revelator, you know, he was the one that laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. And you know, God just really truly did love John. John is the one that God gave this great revelation to. So as far as I'm concerned, after reading this, I would surmise that if you really fall in love with God, if you really serve him with all of your heart, then he's going to reveal things to you just like he did his son John. Amen. Call him his son, his disciple, but John, the Revelator. Psalm 11. Remember, John was one that was boiled in oil and never got burned. And John was one who Peter said, what about that one sitting beside you? And he said, don't you worry about him. You just do what I'm telling you to do. So John had a special place in God's heart. And I really believe with all my heart that each one of us in this room this morning have a special place in God's heart. And in that special place in his heart, he wants to reveal things to you that the world has not yet seen nor heard. Because he keeps saying that there are things that the world has not yet heard or seen that he wants to use us to reveal. And so as we sit at his feet, as we become more like Jesus and sit at God, the feet of God and at the throne of God, we're going to be, those things are going to be revealed to us just like he did to John, because he's no respecter of persons. I want you to quit thinking, well, that was John. Well, no, that wasn't John. That could be you. All right. Psalm 11:4. Just look what John had to go through to get these revelations. You know, he was sent to some island all by himself. You know, John wasn't sitting around just getting blessed, blessed, blessed. John went through a lot of terrible things in his life. And see, we think we should just sit around and be blessed, and that isn't how it's going to work. If you're being persecuted, if you have sorrow after sorrow, then you're the one that God is wanting to pull into his bosom. You're the one that God wants to use to reveal his kingdom to. Because, believe me, we do not understand the kingdom of God. We don't even have the slightest notion what the kingdom of God is all about. We go walk around and profess that we do, but we really don't. But I'm quite sure that once we sit at the feet of Jesus in the third heaven and in the throne room, I know then that we will understand the kingdom like never before. And I just really believe with all my heart, because it's what I'm hearing, that God needs a people who are willing to pay the price to sit at his feet and be taught of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. All right? Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. So where is his throne? It's in heaven. It's not here on earth. All right, third heaven. The third heaven is where God's throne is located. It is a place called paradise, where the saints of God are waiting for the resurrection of their bodies. Now, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 6 says, It is doubtless not proper for me to boast. This is Paul speaking. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he says, this is Paul. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up in the third heaven. In other words, he doesn't know if it, you know, his whole being went up there, or if just a spirit man went up there. But he said, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. In other words, he's not going to go around boasting that he was caught up into the heavens. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Now let's stop there. I know that you can be caught up out of your body. I know your spirit man can leave your body. And because that happened to me, and Jesus came to me and told me to get out of my bed and kneel down by my bed. Next thing I knew, I was going up through the roof of my house, and he had me look down, and there I was kneeling on the floor. My body was. My husband was laying in the bed, and then Jesus took my hand and we went somewhere. So I know that he can whisk you out of your body, your spirit man out of your body. Now, you have to understand that God has a purpose for everything he does in your life. You have to understand that at the time this all happened to me, I had been persecuted all my life up to that point, and I was 50 then. And God just chose me at that point to start a ministry. But he took me out of my body, and he told me to look down. First of all, he said, you know, I said my prayer. I got into bed, a bright light came into my bedroom window, and I heard a voice say, get out of bed and kneel now. So I didn't know God spoke to you like that. I didn't know anything that I know now. So I jumped out of bed, kneeled down by the bed. Next thing I know, I was above the house. So see, these were all things that I didn't understand, but I'm telling you right now, it will happen to you. If you would just let go of the things of the world and grab hold of the hand of God and let him do what he wants to do in your life. And I'm hearing him saying that is a perfect work. He wants to do a perfect work within your lives. He does not want you to walk around half man and half God. He wants you to be totally God, just like his son Jesus. Since there is a third heaven, there has to be a first and second heaven. The atmospheric heaven, the first heaven, in Deuteronomy 11:17. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Now they're saying because he said heavens, that there's more than one heaven. But then we could just say, shut up the heavens, just say that. But studying everything I've been studying about the heavens for about 6 months now, there are more than one heaven. There is more than one heaven. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. That's his good treasure. To give the rain to your land in this season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, the atmospheric heavens include the clouds, the air that we breathe, as well as the space that immediately surrounds the earth. The technical term for this is troposphere. It extends about 20 miles above the earth. The space above this is called the stratosphere. The scripture uses the term heaven to describe this area. And Genesis 6:7 said, I will destroy humanity whom I have created from this face of the earth. From where? Not from heaven, but from the face of the earth, both humans and beasts, creeping things, and birds of heaven. See, birds are in the heavenly realm. We are in the earthly realm. Judges 5:4 says, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured the water. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And as I read that scripture, I just thought, you know, God says, come up into the third heaven. He invited us up there that night. And in that third heaven, he wants to feed us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to supply all of our needs. But because we're still bound to this earthly realm and we are refusing to pay the price to go up into the third heaven, we're still struggling to keep ourselves alive. You know, with food, with houses or whatever. But if we would just do like the birds of the air do, and we would just, you know, just give up all these earthly desires that we have and just take hold of the hand of Jesus and go on up into the third heaven, God will supply our needs. Now, he's told us that whenever all this calamity hits the earth, you know, the gross darkness, when others don't have, he's going to supply our need. The only way he can supply our needs is if we're up there in the third heaven with him. Amen? We're still going to be on this earth. And let me get to clear that. But our spirit man is going to constantly be in the third heaven, sitting at the feet of Jesus, being fed so we can go round about and help others here in this earth. All right, because you're not going to get rid of your home and go up there and sit. God wants you to go up there and visit. And it's set in his presence. God told me to clarify that. All right. All right, so I said the word, oh, no, I didn't say that. The word translated air is Uranus, the same Greek word that is elsewhere translated heaven. We have another example of this used in the book of James. James 5:18, and he, Elijah, prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. See, if we would just get up into the heavenly realm, up into that third heaven, whenever we pray, our prayers will be answered. You know, I know we've been praying and praying, and we don't get the answer to our prayer, and God just impressed upon me when I was studying this, that it's because we are still on this earthly realm, that we don't go up into the third heaven with our prayers. You know, God keeps telling us, come up into the courtroom, right? So the courtroom is where? In the third heaven. It's not here in this earth. So whenever you take the prayers up into the courtroom, you know, then you'd say, God, bring the devil there too, so he hears what you have to say. Then your prayers are being answered. Are you understanding this? You know, so when I first heard about this, I said, all right, God, I'm in the courtroom now. I just did it by faith. I'm leaving this earthly realm, and I'm sitting in the courtroom, which is in the third heaven, and then you bring Satan here because I want him to hear what your verdict is. And then I prayed. And guess what? I got an answer to my prayer. I got out of this earthly realm. See, in the earthly realm, I mean, in the third heaven is everything we have need of. Remember the man we saw where he died, went to heaven? He saw the room up there that had everything in it. Well, if you go into the third heaven with the Father, then you're going to get your answer to your prayer. All right, and number two, the celestial heaven, which is a second heaven. This use of the term heaven refers to outer space or the stellar heaven. It includes the sun, the moon, and the stars. And in Matthew 24:29, I thought this is sort of interesting. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, the word says that God's going to burn the earth up. We're not going to be flooded. So, Brother Larry tells me stars are pieces of fire or something like that, he said. But so if all the stars fall from heaven, what's that going to do? It's going to start a fire. Isn't that right? Isn't that awesome? It was awesome to me. And that explains how God's going to do this whole thing. He said the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Stars are said to be in heaven. Deuteronomy 4:19, and take heed lest you lift up your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, you're up in heaven. Isn't that what he just said? All the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. See, in other words, whenever you see all that awesomeness, he's saying you're going to want to worship them, but don't do that. We don't worship that thing. It's kind of stuff. We only worship God. All right, the heaven of heavens. The scripture speaks of heavenly spheres beyond that which is visible from the earth. It is called the heaven of heavens. And Deuteronomy 10:14, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens, see that heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. There's all kind of heavens above us, and we're just content to be like chickens and sit here and peck around this earth. And God didn't mean us to do that. He meant us to fly like eagles. Eagles will find the highest mountaintop, fly to the highest mountaintop, and there they'll build their nest. And so God wants us to go into the highest heaven and sup with the Father. Now, this is important that you take this into the new year with you. You're no longer going to be happy to sit here in this beggarly element earth. But what you're going to desire, and which we have to desire, is a sit at the feet of Jesus in the heavens. Are you listening? I just think it's awesome how God took John to heaven and revealed all that stuff to him. Now, how many of you in here, God has said, I want to give you revelation that nobody else has had. The only way you're going to get that revelation is by sitting at the feet of God in heaven. You're not going to get it laying in your bedroom. You're not going to get it sitting here in the seat. You're going to have to pay the price, sell it to God, and then visit heaven constantly. All right? These people used to always be saying they go to heaven all the time. I don't hear about them anymore, but it would be nice if we had access to go to heaven anytime we wanted to and come back anytime we wanted to. And I know we do have access. We just don't use that access. All right. And I know, remember in the Bible where they saw the stairway and the angels were ascending and descending? That does happen. God showed us that vision when we was in our home. The stairwell was there and the angels kept ascending and descending up and down it. And we had miracle after miracle after miracle. So as we ascend into heaven and sit in the holy place with God, and we receive the anointing off of him, then we come back down, and then wherever we go, miracles happen. Do you understand that? You're not going to get it in a drugstore. You have to first of all go into the heavenlies and receive that anointing from God. Then you bring it down. Then you take it to the drugstore. Are you realizing why things are not happening when you go out on the highways and the byways? It's because you don't have that anointing. Because God told me this wee hours this morning, he was giving me what I'm going to give tonight. But he was saying that my people would only receive my anointing. Come into my presence and have my anointing flow over them. You would see great signs, wonders, and miracles. So going into 2018, we have to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, be captured up like Paul was, like John was, like Stephen was when he was being killed. I think we're going to get that. But see, this is when you have the great revelation, and you're not going to get it until then. Where am I at, Nancy? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 148:4, praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Heaven is a throne, is the home of God, which is the third heaven. The highest heaven, the third heaven, is indicated by the reference to the throne of God being the highest heaven. In 1 Kings 8:27, Solomon states, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. See what he says? But Solomon stated this, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens, more than one heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Remember, David wanted to build a home for God, but God said, no, your son will, because you have blood on your hands. And Solomon didn't have blood in his hands, and Solomon built the temple. But then Solomon saying, will you be able to live in this place I built for you? See this? And see, God doesn't want us to build something for him to live in. He's already built something in heaven for us to come up there and visit him and receive knowledge. Are you understanding this? Deuteronomy 10:14 says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. See that? The heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. God just occupies everything. But he wants us to get out of the earthly realm, and he wants us to go to the heavenly realm. I so desire that we go there today, before 2018, tonight at midnight. I want us to get this in our spirit. Today, whatever you're doing, think about this, meditate on this, and just ask God, before 2017 ends, take me into the heavenly realm. Then let that be my constant dwelling place with you. Let me sit at your feet and constantly be fed the word so I can take it back to the people. Do you know what that would do for your ministry if you did that? Do you understand that? If you were set at the feet of Jesus constantly and were so anointed, it doesn't matter where you went, what you did, you wouldn't even have to pray deliverance over anybody. The anointing that was on upon you, they would just like Jesus, when he walked into the room, the devil said, "What do I have to do with you?" And this is what the devils would do. They would immediately leap out of the person because you brought the anointing of God. The anointing of God. Amen. The Bible is clear that God cannot be limited to any one geographical place. Yet Scripture also teaches us that there is a certain geographical place where God resides. It is also designated heaven. The writer to the Hebrews said in Hebrews 8:1, "The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven." In other words, Jesus is a high priest. Whenever he died and rose again, he went up and sat at the right hand of the Father in heaven. All right? And see, this is where Jesus is interceding for us from heaven. In the book of Acts, Stephen knew he was going into the presence of the Lord in Acts 7:55. But Stephen, they stoned Stephen to death. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, and what was he full of? The Holy Spirit. That's another thing you have to, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you have to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit in order to even go and sit in the heavens. So, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He looked up. And God keeps telling us, look up and look into my eyes. Hebrews 9:24, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." I don't know about you, but I mean, I used to visit God quite a bit, but I am now discontent in the state that I'm in. The Bible says, be content in whatever state that you're in. Well, I'm discontent on being here in this earthly realm. I now want to visit the heavenly realm constantly and be fed by my Father from his table. And I hope that each one of you will get that in your spirit too, that you're discontent just being here and just reading the word, just listening to what somebody else is telling you. But you'll want more than that. You'll want to sit at the feet of the word. And you want his anointing to pour through you so that you can come back and you can pour that anointing into others and so they can know what you know. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is once we get a knowledge or a gift, we want to hold it into our bosom. I know more than you know. I have more than you have. But you know, the word of God said, freely we have received, freely pour it back out again. In other words, whatever you have received from God, you tell other people about it. Whether they believe you or not doesn't matter. But you just tell them about it. And somewhere along the line, they might look like they're not listening, but you are wetting their whistle. And they're listening. They really are listening. And then you plant the seed and somebody else is going to come along to water it. And then somebody else is going to come along and receive this. They're going to get their salvation. Isn't that how the word says? So why not you be the one that goes up into third heaven, sits at the feet of Jesus, and be taught of his ways. Come on. I said, God, you took me to hell 3 times. I don't want hell, see hell no more. I've already told people all about hell and they aren't paying no attention. Now I want to go to heaven for myself so that I can bring anointing back to set the captives free. Amen. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that the desire of your heart? And you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you did that and a drug addict walked through the door and you shook their hand and every spirit of darkness left them? You know, if somebody was, let's say, with some of these, well, whatever, you know, when they're mentally unstable and they walk through the door and just as they walk by you, they, oh, and see, just your presence. You didn't have to touch them. Just you walked by, the anointing hit them and made their mind whole again. Come on. As we sit at the feet of Jesus in heaven, where am I at? Hebrews, where am I at? Psalm 2:4. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He who sits in heaven is God, and he's going to laugh at your enemies, and he's going to put them in derision. Now, you can believe that or not. I don't really care, but I do know that's true. Jeremiah 31:37, thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. But I just want to really get, thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, they can't be. You know, they are limitless. And they cannot be measured. So how awesome is that? It just goes on and on and on and on. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Woe to who? The inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, Larry and I had this conversation last night. Finally, I said, I just won't mention it. He said, that's a good idea. Because I was saying, the devil then, his home is here on earth, right? His home is no longer in heaven because he was kicked out of where? Heaven. So his home is here on earth because his pit is down below, right? When you see the devil, you don't look up and see him up there. He's down below. So he's below our feet. So his kingdoms must start below. But heaven's, God's kingdom starts, goes up into the heavenlies. And this is where we, instead of walking around, their heads hung low, always feeling dejected, we need to look up like God said. He said, look into my eyes. He didn't say, look down, look into my eyes. He said, look up into my eyes. He's been trying to encourage us for a long, long time to look up and come up hither. Amen. But we aren't doing that yet, he said. And he told me, he said, I want them to get hungry for my third heaven. I want them to get hungry to sit at my feet so I can teach them. Because I need that hunger and that thirsting to become evident to everybody around about them so that I can pour my anointing into them. And I can send them out to do the great mighty works I want them to do. And I'm hearing God say, if you just come and sit at his feet, people will marvel at what God does through you. See, we're fighting the enemy here on earth constantly, and he sometimes we think we are not winning the battle, and that's because we have not spent enough time at the feet of Jesus. And I'm hearing him say, and you have not allowed restoration to take place in your own life, and therefore you can't restore anything in anybody else's life because you don't have enough anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke that we have need of this morning. Are you ready to receive that anointing that destroys the yoke? The last scripture we're going to read is Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The devil's being glorified all over the place, isn't it? Even by the church. But this scripture says, let your light so shine before men. And the only way your light can really shine is if you've been in the presence of the Father and he increases your light. He is light, isn't he? And so as you sit in his presence, then your light increases because you're receiving from his light. He's saying great revelation knowledge is stored up in heaven for you. If you just come up there and receive it. You know, I see, I watched it dancers here, and you know, sometimes they fall out in the spirit, and I'm just wondering, do they do that at home? Do they dance, Father, before you, to the fall out in the spirit? And if they do, then you are taking them up into the third heaven, and you're ministering salvation to them, and you're ministering an anointing to them that is a flag, that it should be, that anointing should be flagging over the people, and the people should be changed. But what I'm saying is, you girls, if you practice at home, which I think you should be, be in the presence of the Father, dancing with your flags, then you should be caught up in the Spirit to some degree, where whenever you come in here, whatever you receive from the heavenly realm will be poured out onto the people that sit there. That's what flagging is all about. It's not watching somebody watch you dance around. The flagging is all about anointing. And the anointing destroys the yoke. Sister Mary, do you dance at home? Because you are greatly anointed to dance. Well, then every time you dance, well, then the anointing should penetrate the walls of your home, and the enemy won't be able to abide in your home because you've been in the presence of the Father. Are you understanding this? Come on, see, we don't spend enough time, and that's why our homes are in shambles. God showed me this the other day. He said, "Just spend more time with me. Come up off out of this earthly realm and spend more time with me so that the enemy has no place in your home." You're not going to get it watching TV. You're not going to get it making somebody supper. You know, you're not going to get it playing games on your computer. You're not going to get it being on the telephone entertaining your family. Well, after all, you know, I have to talk to my family. Do you really? I think what you need to do is let family alone for a little bit and go to your Father. He's your family. And talk to him. Amen. So you see, if you carry that, if you sit and get into the presence of the Father, the anointing will be just saturating you. And wherever you go, whatever you do, the anointing will destroy the yokes. Third heaven is waiting. God gave the invitation 2-3 years ago. That invitation is still waiting for you to come up into the third heaven. And God wants to take you there this morning. And that's what the altar call is all about. Don't you think God moved in a wonderful way during praise and worship? Yes. You know, before he talked to, I knew he was going to talk to Brother Larry because he told me first. But then I saw heaven opened up and he has a grandmother up there and a mother who's up there looking down over praying for him, waving him on. I thought then I saw that first, and then he was telling me that he was going to speak to me, told me what he's going to say. Isn't that awesome? See, you can have that same anointing, but you have to spend time at a Father's feet, and you have to quit complaining about what you're going through. Are you listening? You have to quit complaining. Paul had great revelation because he did not complain about everything he went through. Stephen had a great revelation before he died because he wasn't complaining because of being stoned to death. He's just a young guy, just got started, and they killed him right off the bat. Didn't even get a chance to do nothing. But he wasn't complaining. He just was smiling. He said, "I see the Father." The altar's open. God's calling you to the third heaven. It's up to you whether or not you go. And it, you know, honestly go, and it's up to you whether or not you receive. Now, I'm believing that what's going to happen is you're going to see yourself going into the third heaven. Because I said, "God, I'm tired of them not feeling or seeing anything. I want revelation given this morning. The anointing that destroys every yoke be so prominent that they won't leave here the same as they came."